There are three birth stories in our text today, though I'll grant you it may not seem obvious on first reading. One of them is obvious, the story of Hannah. My heart exults in the Lord, she says. My strength is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in God's salvation. This exuberant song of joy concludes a story which begins with bitter pain. It is the buoyant declaration of a woman ridiculed by some, pitied by others, considered dispensable by all save one. A woman isolated, alone, suffering a public humiliation, a private world of emptiness. Imagine with me for a moment, will you? A young woman sits alone in her tent beside a small cooking fire. Between the irregular slaps of the canvas against the wind and across the small space between her tent and theirs, she hears laughter, the comfortable sounds of family exchange, small children squealing with delight, a parent's soft warning, the clinking of dishware, and the muted conversation of man and woman. She looks around her tidy, vacant space, a neatly tucked bedroll, an orderly stack of pots and pans, a contained pile of kindling, all swept, all in order, all empty. Empty in a cold, wanting way, like her belly. No promise of warmth, the fruit of fullness. The barrenness of her womb birthing nothing but barrenness of soul. Ever feel like that? A barrenness of soul, a famine of hope? Hannah is more than a young woman longing for a child. She is a symbol of something universal. How many of us have ever experienced a season of barren existence, a prospect turned to dust, aspirations to sand, or work and effort come to naught? Hannah is the story that speaks to seemingly dashed aspirations and seemingly disastrous irrevocability. The adolescent with a broken neck lying on a football field. A woman with great gifts imprisoned in a ghetto of poverty. The family with a house and a town scorched to ash. Citizens of a society who see the walls of decorum crumbling all around them. Life is unpredictable. That's no news to anyone. And for all too many, and all too often, brutal. I think that's why Jesus gives a warning to his disciples. They're admiring the beautiful temple and the building surrounding it. The temple, a building they thought could never be brought down. Why? Because God inhabited that temple. It was the focus of their worship, the central heart of all of who they were as God's chosen. It would never come down. But Jesus says, don't trust in this building and don't trust in human-crafted constructs. They fall. They spawn war, and nature, too, will cause destruction. And then Jesus says, but these disasters, these disruptions that destroy your plans and your comfort, that threaten your life and appear to dash all hope, they are but birth pangs. Something new will be birthed. Something new will come forward and set the stage for a future unimagined. But what does this mean to us? What do we do when things fall and the earth heaves? What do we do, or should we do, when we think there's no prospect of anything good? What did Hannah do? How did she move from bitter of soul to song of exultation? She received Eli's blessing. Go in peace, he said. God grant your petition. She accepted certainty of that priest's blessing, and it altered her entire outlook and demeanor. She re-engaged with awakened hope. She hadn't been eating, she started to eat. She hadn't been living, she started to live. She claimed it as real and active in the present. And our writer of Hebrews offers us a clear path for doing the same. The writer reminds her readers, and I do say her because there's speculation it might have been. The others get all the he, so I'm going to say Hebrews was written by her. The writer reminds her readers that Christ has won the ultimate victory over evil. This great work that Jesus did for us and all humankind gives us the privilege of drawing on this truth. Draw near, the writer says. Draw near to God. Draw near to this certain truth of this work that Christ did. Hold fast to the hope this certainty births in us. And then realign your orientation. Encourage each other. Remind each other. Encourage each other in this truth. Remind each other of this truth. When they're discouraged, when they've got a turn and a reversal in their life that takes them to a no future kind of position, encourage them and remind them. Step up beside them. Spur each other on to focus on love and not fear. And spend your energy doing good deeds. Think about others. Do for others. Folks, I know that we are weary of all the discord. We're weary of the turmoil in our political landscape, and we're heartbroken under the fires in our natural landscape. They weigh heavy on us. This weariness demotivates us. It deactivates us. It neutralizes us. It stops us in our tracks. Am I right? I find it hard to go on to the next task sometimes because of what I've just learned, what I've heard, and how it makes me ache. But that's the great evil of it. It silences us. It freezes us in place and just keeps weighing us down. It saps us of our energy and our hope. The answer, our scripture says, is to sing. But not a shallow, chorusy-like song. No, the answer is to sing and claim and proclaim the goodness of God. And in the energy and strength of God's grace and faithfulness, move up and move out. And to look to each other for bolstering, encouraging, for laughter and reprieve, so that we can join with Hannah and sing, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My heart is exalted. My strength is exalted. It's lifted up. It's activated. It's animated. It's hopeful. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, those women who are looking down on me, those men who think I'm worthless, that society who shames me. I'm going to speak boldly to them. I'm going to speak boldly to those who want to be mean in the grocery store. I'm going to speak boldly to those who are doing what is not good, what is not wholesome, what is not elevating, because I rejoice in God's salvation, God making us whole and who we are meant to be. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides God, nor is there any rock like God." That's where we can live. Thanks be to God.